Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard, a change and transformation consultant and self-confessed fintech enthusiast. And today, we continue our series looking at the evolution of fintech in 2023.
Chris, great to have you back again. And this time, chatting around what we are seeing going on in the fintech ecosystem and the financial services industry. And as we head into 2023 and we start looking at, you know, must really reflecting around what's been happening and also what's going to be happening, what do you see as the top three challenges that are going to be facing fintechs as we head into the new year in 2023?
It's really interesting. I think the biggest thing for me is that critical mass is actually going to become quite a material determinant of sort of survival, whether it's kind of a traditional business or also a fintech. I think fintechs are more prone to that because of the pressures of funding and the need to get to growth, et cetera. But I think just the operational leverage is only ever going to increase with more and more regulation and compliance burdens, et cetera. And also, I think there's what we saw from the last financial crisis was there's the regulator asked for more frequent reporting, and that imposes a sort of burden on a business that's looking to grow when it's trying to systemize the reporting at the same time. And being asked for different reporting than what they've already got. So I think from my point of view, critical mass is going to be the really big one. I remember 5 years ago, a very senior director from a bank said to me they'd modeled looking at setting up a neobank, and they said it doesn't work economically unless you have 2 million customers. What they were surprised about was the number of challenger banks that were available, because they were saying, well, that's not sustainable given the cost pressures that you have. So I think you will see that there's going to be that critical mass driver is going to lead to either mergers or partnerships, which will be beneficial, I think, for the ultimate consumer, but are going to be born out of necessity. I suppose it's quite interesting looking at what's happening with the crypto market, where it's kind of one company now buying up lots of other crypto businesses. And whilst people might say crypto's down, I think they would say actually picking the bones off what were big businesses that spend a lot of money is actually not a bad strategy. So who is going to do that within the fintech side is going to be interesting. So what's the vehicle that is going to be able to bring different people with different passion and vision together? So it's kind of, I suppose, my first two things are kind of critical mass. And then I think who's got the strength of idea or the balance sheet that's capable to bring those other partners together. And I think the third side is really, I actually think the biggest challenge for fintechs is the dominant incumbents. So I don't think they've been sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah,
I think lots of them have been investing in technology. And I think firstly, it's quite easy to say, you know, legacy back office systems stop you from doing a lot. But I think the dominance in terms of brand distribution channel can offset a lot of that legacy inefficiency. It's certainly what we've noticed is that salaries and pay rises have been going up over the course of the beginning of this year, but we're starting to see that drop and that there's less competition for staff. So those legacy providers, if they have got a manual process or system, will be able to get a cost saving just from a relatively stronger position in terms of employment.
Yeah.
So do you need to have as much tech as you might otherwise have needed? So sorry for the shaggy dog story, but I think that's really
And I can see that. I definitely can see that all playing out. I mean, we can see, you know, different types of institutions going out and acquiring lots of different businesses. You can see it in the big players, and also, you know, the up and comers as well. And, you know, as part of this, it's also making certain that, you know, us as individuals and us as companies can unlock growth. And how do you see the digital, how do you see companies taking full advantage of digital to unlock new opportunities in 2023?
I think the ability to launch MVPs of different product positions quickly and cheaply is really going to be the sort of winner. Because ultimately, I think consumers' tastes are changing quite fundamentally and a lot quicker. You know, we acquired a cash management business in November last year on the basis that we thought people would be interested in either kind of saving against a risk or actually insuring against a risk. Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, actually, interest rates are highly likely to go up rather than down from where they were then, which I think the average interest rate was about 0.8%. And you look at it today and you think,
not a good time to get a mortgage.
And you look at it and you think, well, if we put in the assumptions for the investment case to say we thought interest rates would go from there to where they are today, everyone would have laughed at us. And, you know, it's just the world moves so quickly when it does move. But yeah. I think that's going to be the requirements that the financial services industry have got. It's not just because there's a generational change of people, but also there's a circumstance change for individuals. You know, if you're a pensioner who's had a large amount of your portfolio in gilts, which is a sort of perceived wisdom, the last week's been fairly uncomfortable. And I think new products and new circumstances are going to have to come together to really kind of solve the problems we've got over the next 5 to 10 years.
No, I like it.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
You know, as we, not everything is doom and gloom, right? So we definitely, I feel like we definitely, yeah, it feels, well, listen, if you're in the UK, it's definitely a chilly time. But, you know, out of 2022, I mean, let's be honest, you know, the fintech market, the fintech ecosystem, some people have bruised egos and bloody noses. But as we move forward into 2023, I feel like there are opportunities. There are opportunities out there to continue to grow, to continue to innovate, to continue to create a better ecosystem. So what do you think are maybe the top two or three opportunities out there for fintech leaders, fintech companies to take, to grab with both hands and move forward into 2023?
I think when you look at some of the early sort of perceived wisdom from sort of the investment community for going into fintech, it was keep it simple, do one product, fail fast, get bigger quicker. I sort of think now, if I was looking back at it, those are the three things I would totally ignore. I think it's, you know, the recipe for success is almost the inverse of what the perceived wisdom is. I think it needs to be a holistic model that allows different access points to different types of consumers and audiences. And what's been fascinating is seeing some of the earliest fintechs that built really solid tech on the basis of a single distribution scheme then have more success providing that tech to an existing industry alongside those use cases. I think that's going to be the key thing, is to sort of have three different legs to the business. So, and fintechs are very, very good at data, very good at tech, and are good at brand and sort of marketing, I think, and customer journey sort of simplification and product simplification. I think those are applicable to a wide variety of audiences, and maybe the financial services community won't just stay in financial services. You know, I think one of the things that fascinates me is how closely entwined retail, financial services, and loyalty in South Africa is bound together, and how that's managed to get a generation of people who weren't interested in financial services to actually take out products that their families and they had never bought or heard of, which is amazing. And that's where you can see real positive force for change. And I think that there's a lot to be actually be quite beneficial about and excited about, because digitalization and financialization and every other version of Asian is a sort of fairly big trend in the economy. I can't see that getting any smaller. And I think fintech has a a massive role to play. And once we've got a small, you know, we're having problems at the moment, there's still a massive European economy, and it's not disappeared from 100 to zero.
Yeah,
it's just had a fluctuation. I think I started work really during the middle of the financial crisis, sort of beginning of my career was financial crisis, and you saw some amazing businesses come out of there. You also saw some good businesses die because of over leverage. But I think there's a really great opportunity, and there's still seems to be a lot of cash. I'm always amazed by how much investment money is still there, but it's just, are you happy to take a different valuation or a slightly changed roadmap to how you want to get there?
And part of the digitalization, that clause or that world is the metaverse and Web3, and you know where that's potentially going to take us. And I've had a lot of different conversations with many people, and there's different views, I must admit. But I'd like to get your view on it. Do you think, you know, Web3 and the metaverse is a myth or a reality?
I think it's a bit like driverless cars. You know, it's coming. It's just the one thing I don't think anyone can guess is timing. Yeah. So you could be. So I don't think there's a first mover advantage. I think there's a second mover advantage. And so I think it's something to engage with and learn from and ensure that your business model can be responsive to it. But I wouldn't put all of our chips into Web3 or Metaverse. I just don't think you can know how long that time for adoption will come in. And it could be very quick and you could miss it. But I think there's more risk from actively engaging in it and not getting the returns that you thought you were going to do. And I've lost an awful lot of time and money on that, because also it's a very specialist sort of skill set that I don't think there's a huge amount of people that do understand it. So it's going to be expensive to get into and not hugely applicable if it doesn't pay off.
Yeah.
That makes me sound like a very boring accountant. But, you know, it's
prudent.
But at the same time, sort of consumer of me gets really excited about that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we don't really know where it's going, right? I mean, I'm on Web3 and Metaverse chat rooms, and there's a lot of information coming out of there, but it's ultimately a group of people just learning creating and learning off exactly what they're doing right now, which is great to be part of, but it's very in its infancy, put it that way.
Yeah, and I think I still don't think we've really scratched the surface of what digital can do to financial services. So I think to leapfrog that to Web3, I think there's probably three different steps we've got to get to before we even start thinking about it as an industry.
Yeah, I agree with you. And listen, awesome catching up today, and yeah, looking forward to you guys doing really great in the next few months, the next few years, and hopefully hooking up soon.
Thanks very much. Cheers, Richard.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.